2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'm going to zoom in here at 1. Verses 5 and 7. And if you have that, please stand as a sign of reverence and honor for the Word of God. Be reading from the English Standard Translation of the Holy Writ. The Word of God reads as follows. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Blessed day to acknowledge and affirm motherhood. We thank you for your design. When you made man and woman in your image, and man, Adam, called Eve his wife, the mother of the living. Thank you for your design for humanity. And we have the privilege to affirm it today. Mothers of the faith. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer, speak, Lord. Your people are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk from this subject, the influence of a mother's faith. The influence of a mother's faith. Mothers, do you view yourself as an influencer? I'm not referring to a social media influencer with thousands of followers. Do you have godly influence? Influence that possesses a true faith that you instill into another person's life. The faith of Jochebed, Moses' mother, saved him from Pharaoh's sword. Her early training, Moses, gave him a sense of his true identity as a Hebrew. Hebrews 11, verse 23 through 26 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. It wasn't Moses' faith, it was his parents' faith. Because they saw that the child was beautiful. Had God's hand upon him. And they were not afraid to disobey the king's edict. They made a political protest. And by faith, verse 24, Moses, when he was grown up, now we see Moses' faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. I wonder who taught him that. For he was looking for the reward. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he would not depart from it. One of the greatest gifts we can give to our children, young or old, is godly parents. Men and women of faith. Timothy's mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois, taught him the ways of the Lord. Their faith in Jesus Christ influenced the trajectory of Timothy's faith and his destiny. What does a godly mother look like? Let's observe from the biblical text six qualities of a godly mother's faith. Number one, a faith that is sincere. Faith that is sincere. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul's A of that verse, it says, I am reminded, or I remember your sincere faith. Sincere is from a word that means not hypocritical. It's not pretentious. It's not an act. It's not a Sunday affair. It's not a Wednesday night occasion. It's real. have some great pretenders in the so-called church in America. We have a lot of actors, a lot of pretenders who are feigning love and feigning faith. They're perpetrating a fraud on the people of God. But real faith is seen in action, not in words alone. A child watches their mother, knows if the way she acts in public is the same way she acts in private. Sometimes we can be sincerely wrong. But George Burns, he was known to say, sincerity is everything. If you can fake that, you've got it made. But you have to pass the sincere test. You can't get by with faking folk. Faking the funk, as they say. Thinking that you're spiritual when you're not, that you're saved and you're not, that you know God and you don't. And just by mere attendance or mere activity does not qualify you or quantify the reality that you're saved. There's a faith test to be taken. Let's take the test together. Let's consider these three evaluations, these three diagnostic questions. The first question is, make sure your faith is genuine. You take a personal inventory of your faith in Jesus. You take that inventory. You take that test. Only you can determine that reality. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. How, Paul? Or do you not realize this about yourself? Here it is. That Jesus Christ is in you. Is there room for him? Have you permitted him to rule and reign in your heart, mind, and soul? Is he Lord and Savior in your life? He says you have to examine yourself and realize, is Jesus Christ in me? And if you can determine he's in you, then you pass the test. You pass the test. He says, or do you not realize this about yourself? Maybe that's the problem with the Christian world. We don't realize that he's in us. That he resides in the person and power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And that it is his presence that helps us to become more like Jesus. It is his presence that empowers us to live out the reality of our salvation as the people of God, and specifically as mothers of faith. A philosopher once stated that an unexamined life is not worth living. Make sure that Jesus Christ lives in you. And if he lives in you, mothers, you've passed the test. You have a sincere faith. And then allow others close enough to you that they can see you. Be transparent enough that they know something about you. No, don't put on the mask and play the holy, then holy person, or the perfect, or the imperfect person trying to be imperfect, but be the real you. As God has redeemed and saved you, he saved the real you. He knows what he chose before the foundation of the world. He's not surprised by your falling and faltering. He's not surprised about your perfect imperfections. Come on, somebody. He still chose you before the foundation of the world. It was his will, his purpose, his choice. It wasn't yours. Yes, you responded in time, but he chose you in eternity. See, that's what you got to rely on, mothers. He chose you in eternity. With all of your doubt, with teach me about my mom's faith during her years of living with COPD before she went on to glory is that she never ceased to give God a sacrifice of life. There were times she really couldn't get oxygen, or inhale or exhale, and she was always praising God, always discussing the sermon, always taking notes, always reading her devotion. She was always giving God a sacrifice of praise in her debilitating condition. I was impressed by that. And I said to myself, if I was in a bad condition, would I be praising God? Or would I be complaining to God? Would I be blaming God? That's what my mom taught me. That when you're in the toughest places in life, praise Him. Don't curse Him. It was not the perfection of her life, but the direction of her life that provided the evidence of a real faith, an uncritical faith. Not perfect, but faithful. I know that her prayers, along with her struggles, real and genuine. And the question is, do you have this morning a sincere faith? Because with a sincere faith, secondly, comes a faith that is alive. 2 Timothy 1:5, B clause, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. That's important, beloved. Because the grandmother came to a saving knowledge of Jesus as Messiah first. Then she poured that into her daughter, Lois. And then her daughter, Lois, and her poured it into Timothy. And then Timothy went out and poured it into others. That's how it works. That's how it works. If we at New Life took what was poured in us and poured into others, and they poured into others, then by multiplication, this congregation won't have any standing room because we poured the Christ that was poured into us. We poured it into others, and we poured it into others, and they poured it into others. That's generational evangelism. Do you see that? A sincere faith is a faith that's alive. Have you ever noticed that faith sometimes has a life of its own? The ESV said it dwells. The KJV said it dwelt. I like that. It dwelt. It gives an even better description of this faith. Lois and Eunice were the bodies where their faith resided. Faith was made to feel at home in them. I want you to notice that Grandmother Lois is mentioned. Then Mother Eunice is mentioned. I believe Paul is writing to emphasize what Lois did. She shared her faith with Eunice, and they in turn modeled and shared that faith with young Timothy. Timothy is the first second generation believer in the New Testament. Second generation. Listen. A genuine faith is not a faith we control as much as a faith we house. We let it live. We let that faith breathe in us and through us. That's why Jesus talked so much about the Holy Spirit coming as that paraclete, that advocate, that counselor, and that helper, to take that living faith and let it breathe in the hearts and the lives of the early disciples. We can never eliminate the Spirit, but through neglect, we can weaken our connection to Him. Lois and Eunice were changed by a faith that was alive, a faith that they allowed to reside in them, to feel at home in them. You know, when people visit you, beyond just one day, your effort and hospitality is to make them feel us faithful. He says, oh, may all who come before us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprint that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. May the lives that we live find us faithful. Sometimes, especially as parents, we get the emphasis wrong. We want to make sure that our children know the faith as we do. They can't. So we focus on the head knowledge and instructions of our faith. And yes, that's important. But as equally important as the element of passing on our faith is to make sure our faith is sincere and alive. You pass that on, even if they don't know all the theology. They don't understand incarnation. They don't understand sovereignty and providence, election and predestination. They don't understand the vicarious death of Christ the way you do. But make sure that you are living before them this kind of faith that is real, is alive, and sincere. Another word from sincere and alive is healthy. See, healthy things grow. Healthy things reproduce. Right now, the grass in my yard is so healthy. It's like carpet. And I'm cutting it more than I want to because it's so healthy. It's getting lots of light, lots of moisture. It's growing like a wildfire and producing in a way. I don't want it to produce as fast because I have to cut it. Is that what your faith in Christ is like? Mothers of sincere faith are channels of influence whose lived faith transforms her circle of influence. We need to put as much emphasis on the passing on of our faith as we do the physical and psychological health of our growing children. Sometimes it's easy to let this truth fall through the religious cracks of life. Don't just worry about the big things and miss the more subtle dangers of the soul. Souls that are lost need a witness. They need a sanctified witness. They need someone they can see living out what they're saying. I don't understand what you're saying because I see how you live. It's hard to bring transformation in the life of anyone at any age, at any time, when what you're saying is not transformative in you. But you want them to be transformed. Lord help. A great mom, godly mom, is more than motherly. She's godly. A great mom is not just concerned about the end. A great mom is concerned about how to get there. Let's talk about that. How to get to the end. That's the fourth quality of a faith. A faith that does. 2 Timothy 1:6, a clause. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. And I know that I'm not telling you anything new when I say that each child is different. One of the great joys of parenthood is discovering unique gifts, personalities, bents, talents that God has given to each child. The difference about the Christian mother is that she lives an active faith that can be seen in action. Remember what James says, James 2:18. I will show you my faith by my works. My works will give evidence to my faith. Not that my works saves me. It gives evidence that I am saved. It proves the point of my confession. It makes real my salvific reality that I'm born of God, that I'm a child of God. And when was my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Not when I got saved. My name was written in eternity before the foundation of the world. Do you hear that? That Christian mother influences her child in the faith to discover how God has gifted them and putting those gifts to work, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Mother's faith is always looking for the teaching opportunity to connect faith and works. Works and faith. He says, fan into flame, stir up the gift. Anyone who has ever been camping, I mean old school camping, not when you've been your kerosene and your oil and you're a long lighter. I'm not talking about that stuff. Real camping. Well, you got to find the sticks to make the fire. If you've been there, this is not a casual statement. Just run through, fan into flame. To get the flame going, you got to get your face down, close to the kindling, and then you got to blow, and then you protect what you're blowing, because you want to catch fire. It's 100% focus. You see, Lois, Eunice, and it got so bright, Timothy believed that God even chose Timothy to join the Apostle Paul in his missionary work. He was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. He was afraid. He had to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake. But they were teaching him, your grandmother and your mother, they feed the flame of faith. It's time for you to stir it up in you. It's in you, Timothy. But you got to stir it up like they did. Once the flame is going, it generates what? Its own heat. Rekindle as parents your goal to see the next generation fan into flame their own fire, their own passion, not your passion. Look, if you are more passionate about your kid's success than he is, he's not going to be successful. It's got to be his desire. Come on. If you're more invested and his or her development than they are, they won't develop. And you're going to be a frustrated, pull your hair out kind of mother. Fan into flame that fire. Encourage them to make their own fire. Concerning their calling, concerning their gifts, concerning the trajectory of their lives, concerning their profession, their career, what they're going to do in life, what they will become one day. Don't make that decision for them. Let them decide. Because they have to pass the test. They have to do the work. Now, you may have to pay. Outside of scholarships and fellowships, you may have to pay. But they have to. So here we have a sincere faith, a faith that's alive, a faith that's passed on, a faith that does, and now it's a faith that is encouraged. It's a faith that is encouraged. Part B of verse 1, 6, clause B of verse 6, chapter 1, 2 Timothy. Which is in you? It's been in Timothy all the time. Timothy just never focused on what his mother and grandmother deposited within him, what Paul deposited within him, what others helped him in the disciple-making process, the truths that you're teaching people that you don't even know, but they're in your sphere of influence, and they're hearing what you're saying. You're depositing something of God's truth in their lives. We often get this wrong, placing special spiritual emphasis on the laying on of hands. Laying on of hands is biblical, it's right, and it's good. But we do something that we shouldn't do with it. one that encourages the soul. It does. It gives you a level of refreshment mentally, emotionally. Confidence comes. And you realize, I'm not alone in this. There are people praying for me. There are people walking with me. And God is at work. It encourages the soul. Do others know that you are praying for them? Praying for their relationship. Praying for their challenges. Do you say, hey, I'm praying for you about that situation you shared with me the other day? I'm still in prayer about that until God moves. Until he gives you a praise report. Or he's going to give you another prayer request. And I want to join you in agreement with that request that God's will may be accomplished as we pray together. Let people know that you are praying for me. That's encouragement. You don't have to be lengthy or involved. Just say, I'm praying for you about that situation, about this situation. Laying on of hands is this: affirming communication and confirmation. That's what it is. You're affirming and you're communicating your compassion and your care for that individual. The laying of hands does not transfer gifts. You are not the apostle Paul. But it affirms the gift already deposited. That's what it does. Can you see the difference? God already put it in you. You just don't have confidence in it. You just don't realize the magnitude of it. But a spiritual-minded woman or man comes along and they put their hands on you and they affirm what God has already put in you. I mean, I never knew I would be a pastor today or a preacher or a teacher of the Lord at all. But Zenobia McClendon did. Because at 14, she forced me to teach Sunday school to my peers. And she sat there like a student. She was an older sister. And Sister Zenobia McClendon said, Brother Ruffin, I'm Jimmy, my brother Ruffin. She's my elder. I'm like, you have to call me Brother Ruffin. She said, Brother Ruffin, yes, ma'am. I want you to teach this class next time. And I want you to teach this Sunday after that. About 2 months, I was the teacher and she was there as a student. I didn't know that. But she put her hands on me. She saw something I could never see. And she encouraged me to do what I'm doing today. It's easy to be an encourager when things are going well. Well, when your team is winning, woo-wee, nobody can tell you nothing. But when your team is losing, encouragement does not travel well, does it? Encouragement does not sound good when you're You don't even receive it, do you? You reject it. Stop talking to me. You reject it. But when you encourage those in the faith, they're at a point of loss and despair. We want to hear it. It builds up what? That faith, that gifting, that calling is already in us. And mothers are masters at taking a child who is hurting and making them feel better. Just for a moment. She gets their mind, like Jedi, she gets their mind off what they're complaining about. It's a wonderful thing to see. But this is what happens when that mother of faith encourages spiritually the children of faith. The real challenge to encouragement, beloved, especially spiritual encouragement, is when things are not going well. That's where real encouragement takes place. This is when your children, young or old, really need to know you believe in the value of their spiritual growth. No matter if they're not doing the things that you're doing spiritually, but you're still concerned about their spiritual value. And you take those moments when they come back, and they will come back calling. They will have questions. Now you have the opportunity to instill the faith that was instilled. The late great coach of Vince Lombardi singled out one big guard for his failure to put up. He says, you're a lousy football player. starts out in his lowest or lowest, but says, there's a great believer. There's a great man of faith, a great man of woman inside of you. He said, you're a great football player, but it's inside. And I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to be beside you until that player emerges. Until you have a chance to come up. That football player's name, Jerry Kramer. He was number 64 of the Green Bay Packers. He's in the Hall of Fame today. He became one of the greats of the game. Why? Because Lombardi said, I see a great football player. He told the rest of the story like Steve Harvey. You know, give you all the bad news and they give you the good news. That's what he did. That's what mothers do. They give you the bad news, the consequences of your choices and why you messed up and why you're going through what you're going through, but then they tell you what you need to hear so you won't do it again. And then they encourage you. They give you a faith, lastly, a boldness. Courage instills a boldness, a faith that is bold. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Godly parents envision their children, whom they have raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to live boldly for Christ in the world. You may be a follower of Christ, but are you boldly living for Christ? The world says, live out loud. And they live out loud in their own sinfulness, but do you live out loud in your faith? They're out of the closet, but are you out of the closet? Your religious closet. Are you out living out your faith? It is possible and practical to live this way because Christ is in us. Such faith comes from the Spirit of Christ in us. It's not of us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. A faithful mother understands that Christ is doing the work in that person. Christian parents, friends, and family, it begins here. For God gave us. Timidity, an attitude, a mindset of fear. For God gave us an attitude, a mindset of love and power and sound mind. That's what he gives to us. And so, moms, what do you pray for? Do you pray safety for your children? Or do you pray for bold faith? You don't exclude one before the other, but what is your emphasis in them? To make them safe, to never have a problem, to always be happy, to get what they want in life, or do you pray for a bold, courageous faith? That no matter what life throws their way, they're going to be victorious over those issues. A mother of faith is a mother who influences. Almighty God, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We ask for your blessing on each mother today. Fill their hearts with laughter and joy. Surround them with love from family and friends. Grant